When talking about technology and gender, I like to talk about it from two different perspectives, because this relationship is really important and is really fundamental in order to comprehend and analyze more social impacts and social aspects of technologies today. And one is technology and gender. This is the first one. And let's think about it in terms of workplaces or labor markets. So women are still very much excluded when we think about technology production, technology design. Where is technology produced, or where decision making around technology is carried out? Women are still very excluded among other different categories of people. And this really has a huge impact on the technologies that we use and the technologies that we buy. And this is really still fundamental, because it has been like this throughout history, but it is still like this. So data tell us that AI industry, and I mean the sector more in general, lacks a lot of different cultures, a lot of different subjects and subjectivities to shape how technology is produced, but also how it's commercialized, how it's put into market. So this is a way big and bigger discourse, but it's still very important. The other perspective about the relationship between technology and gender is technology on gender or in gender. Because we know that modern technologies are not neutral. They learn from data, they learn from social, institutional, and cultural practices, which often reflect existing inequalities. So, very simple, if the data sets used to train AI systems contain stereotypes or imbalances or discriminatory practices in representation, and normally it has to do with history, with the fact that women were not allowed to do a lot of things throughout history. They were not accepted in certain job positions, as I already said. And all of this created sometimes a huge lack in representation. So basically a void in data. There's a void of data about women in certain positions, like women are as buyers, women as people that go to a bank and ask for credit, ask for mortgages. So there's a void in this sense, so an underrepresentation, but there can also be an overrepresentation. For example, in the data sets, women can be overrepresented as care workers, as non-workers. And all of these create problems, because these systems can reproduce and even amplify this information. And doing this, amplifying gender discriminations in all kind of areas and domains, but I would say essential services, credit, recruitment. And as AI and these technologies become more pervasive, these effects are scaling and they're harder to detect. So the risk is not only that AI mirrors existing inequalities, but that it makes them more systematic and less visible. And let's also think about not only gender discrimination in the offline world, let's say, but let's also think about what AI brought with in terms of deepfakes, in terms of bots on social media that systematically harass women online. So there's a whole new chain of gender-based online discrimination, which is causing a lot of problems to many different people. And awareness on these issues has grown significantly in recent years. So there are position papers, white papers, reports by the European Union, the Council of Europe, the United Nations, the OECD, and, you know, most of institutions worldwide. The biggest problem with all of this is that we are by now full of papers and documents listing how things should work out with according to which principles and in what direction. But there is still a huge gap between principles and practice. So more effective oversight, transparency, broader participation of women and other underrepresented groups in the design and governance of AI systems is something that it's over suggested, over encouraged, but still it's not a practice yet. It's not something that entered decision making. It's not something that really is having an impact, unfortunately. So this is something that definitely needs to change. Also because when designed and governed responsibly and, you know, addressed in a completely different way with social security and social benefits, social impact in mind as a goal, AI can become a powerful tool for identifying and addressing discrimination. What I really think and believe, and also trying to prove with my research, is that AI can really show us our worst sides. So that's basically it. Not necessarily because we're evil or because we're really bad people, but because most of us tend to have biases. We all have biases, not only in terms of prejudice and stereotypes, but also in terms of how we relate to technology, what our expectations on technologies are. We're full of biases, and technology is too. So the thing is that we tend to mirror with technology. So we tend to use it as an something that can take us beyond what we can do. So this is actually the whole purpose of modern technology. So the thing is, it can show us our limits. It can unveil our problems, our bad choices. And there are so many levels on which this is actually happening. Let's think about the use of AI in science, in education, in hiring. So these are all domains, very different, where probably there was something going on already before AI arrived, right? That was not completely right, or it was a bit in crisis. It was a bit falling apart. And then AI came and showed us really like the problems of all these domains, human, deeply human processes that needs to be addressed. So this is also true with discrimination. So AI can show us and unveil our biases, which I think is really powerful. We don't only think about LLMs here or generative AI. I mostly think about machine learning and classification systems, you know, AI used for risk scoring, and all of these practices really tell you how much humans and human history, human practices, institutional and organizational processes are discriminatory. So in this sense, it can help detect gender pay gaps, for example, or monitor hiring processes, identify discriminatory language, and provide better data on a lot of things. And it can also support more effective policies. But we must remember that technology alone does not automatically create equality, and innovation is not about positive outcomes immediately. We have to direct it in that direction.